بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت میاجی نور محمد صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ، شیخ آف حاجی امداد اللہ صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ، he used to be in Lohari and his sheikh's name was Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he was passing that way, then his sheikh Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi called for his murid, that was Miaji Noor Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, to come, and informing him that Hazrat Mawla Ismail Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is passing this way, and you should come at once, meet him and take bayat at his hands. At that time, Hazrat Miaji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was watering his animals, his horse or whatever. And when he heard this, he fell unconscious. He regained consciousness, caught up, and took bayat at the hands of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Both Sheikh and Murid have taken bayat now at the hands of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. One of Miyadi's murids, or Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib's murids, they explained to him that you were bayat already to Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and that nisbat is very, very strong. I can see the glow of it, I can see the radiance and the light. Then what was the need for you to take bayat again whilst your sheikh is alive at the hands of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi? So his reply was quite astonishing. He says that compared to what we had got from Hazrat Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, this nisbat is nothing compared to what we had got from Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Because from Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, we learned the sunnat. We got the sunnat, the spirit of the sunnat, the truth of the sunnat, the understanding of the sunnat we got from Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. We were in the dark about it, and he had enlightened us. So compared to the emulation and following the sunnah, this thing is of no relevance. We understand the importance of the following of the sunnah. I was reading an article just now. Hazrat Mawla Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was emphasizing the importance of straightening the serfs in namaz. And in spite of him emphasizing it for some days, some person still wasn't straightening the rows, wasn't straightening the serf. So Mawla was very upset. And he says, what's the need of doing all these wazifas and these teachings of these buzugan deen when you can't practice the sunnah? In comparison to the sunnah, this is nothing. You rather practice the sunnah first. He was very upset at it. So the importance of practicing the sunnah, just on account of correcting themselves in the acts of the sunnah, he says that these things are nothing. In other words, those mashagil and those practices that we learn under the guidance and the tutorship of the buzurgan deen, these things are nothing in comparison to the sunnah. So the actual thing is to get us to the sunnah. These mashagil are practice, and we learn them so that we get the true spirit and the true feeling to follow the sunnah. If we are left alone, then perhaps we may leave out the sunnah. Similarly, you find again Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh, and when Hazrat Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh had accepted Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayh for bayat, then he says, in many issues we were in the dark until Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayh had joined us. Then we realized how many mistakes we were in. So Hazrat Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh thereafter was so indebted to Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he would say, actually, the positions have already all been changed. Now he is in my position and I am in his position. He is in my position and I am in his position. And further he says, what I am saying is not just out of tawazu. This is being, I am being inspired to say this. I am being told to say this. So when Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah's present came, sent a turban or something, an amama. So he took the turban, placed it on his eyes, placed it on his head, and he said, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Sahib ki tabarruk hai. So they held the sunnah in such esteem, such respect and such esteem. The following of the sunnah, the small sunnah, the minor sunnah, the bigger sunnah, but the very spirit of the sunnah, they learnt under them. So the respect was one thing, the mashagil of the Sufiya Ikram was one thing, and the practicing of the sunnah was another thing. If they needed guidance in that respect, then they would definitely listen to Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh. One person came from Makkah Mukarrama, where Hazrat Hadi Sahib rahmatullah was based, and he says that Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh has allowed me to listen to Sama. So Sama is like how we have this nazams and all that, not accompanied by musical instruments. So Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah wasn't for this type of thing. And the reasons were obvious. He felt that one thing will lead to the other and eventually it will get up to music. And so was Miyadi Sahib rahmatullah also not for this sama. One person wanted to make some sama in the presence of Miyadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh, so Miyadi Sahib stopped him. But he stopped him with respect in a dignified way. He says, you see, sometimes people ask me to lead the namaz. And as far as the listening to the sama, it's a mukhtalafi thing. The ulama have differences of opinion in the permissibility of this thing. Now, if I'm going to listen to this, then there may be someone that is in the congregation that may be not in agreement. And when he's not in agreement, then he will not feel comfortable performing namaz behind me. Same thing happened to Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanoti rahmatullah alayh. One person brought one singer. So that singer was so powerful, they say that singer was so powerful that once he was called in some festival, some wedding, whatever it was, to render some song, whatever. So as he just started off the song, he says, "Jo jis hal mein tha, bas usi hal mein reh gaya." Someone is chopping the onions, his hands are stuck in that. Someone is washing the plates, his hand is just stuck on that. Someone is about mounting his animal, his hands are just stuck on that. They sort of mesmerized. They can't do anything at that time. So he was such a powerful singer. He was called. So this person that called him sat behind Mawlana Qasim Sahib rahmatullah alayh, and Mawlana Qasim Sahib rahmatullah alayh is in the center and the singer is in front. So anyway, about half an hour passed and this person that called, he indicated to the singer, "Now start off something. You know, start it off." So nothing doing, half an hour passed, so that sitting ended. Anyway, when it ended, so this person that invited, he reprimanded the singer that, "I asked you to sing, why didn't you sing?" So he says, "I was about to open my mouth and I saw Maulana Qasim Sahab Nanoti Rahmatullah's fingers getting stuck in my mouth. Now if someone got his hand like this, can you sing?" "Can't sing." "Again I started, again I saw his hand on my mouth. So how could I sing?" Well, Qasim Sahab Rahmatullah later on, he reprimanded the inviter and he told him, "See, what's wrong? You know, people call us ulama, call us mulanas. Now you're calling this type of people here, then this will be a controversy in its own. It will be a story on its own. Why do you call this type of people here? Anyway, I'm showing you the respect that they had shown, the regards and the respect that they had shown for the sunnah. Although there is a difference of opinion, and that difference of opinion is respected. Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that is the father of Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he was at the graveside of Hazrat Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh, Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh. So it just makes me tell you that sometimes, especially in this age and zamana, you feel more relaxed and comfortable with the dead than with the living. Yeah. Really? Sometimes you feel more comfortable, more at ease, more serene with the dead than with the living. People generally feel more comfortable with the living, but in this day and age, I think many people will feel more comfortable sitting there near the dead, sitting there. You'll see a calmness, a serenity, a peace is covering them. Okay. Anyway, so Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah was seated there in the presence of Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh. So whilst he's seated there, he saw Qutbuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that is now the buzur that is in the grave, he saw him. And then it wasn't long when Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshbandi Rahmatullah Alayh, he had just come in. He just pulled in. When he pulled in, they had some discussion and Hazrat Bahauddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh left. So then Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh discussed this whole masla of Sama with Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh. "What do you have to say about Sama?" So instead of replying to his question, Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh asked Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, "What do you have to say about ash'ar, about poetry?" He says, "Kalamun mawzunun, husnuhu hasanun, wa qabihuhu qabihun." He says, it is some statements, some words that have a rhythm, and the good of it is good, the bad of it is bad. That is also speaks about poetry, that if there is some wisdom, there is something to learn in it, then it's all right. So long as a person doesn't make it his livelihood, and doesn't make it the very theme of his life, now and then he's reciting the thing, it's all right. So if it's good, it's inspiring you towards good, then it's good. And if it's bad, then it's bad, obviously. Then Qutbuddin Sahib asked him, "All right, then what do you have to say if that poetry is sung in a sweet voice, in a sweet tone?" So Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah says that sweet voice, according to one of the tafsir, يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَىٰ. So one of the tafsir is a sweet and a beautiful voice. Allah Ta'ala adds to His creation as He pleases. So someone has got a good voice, someone got a better voice, someone got a very good voice, right? Like you'll find one Imam Sahib in the Haram Sharif, and another Imam Sahib is excelling him, and the third one is excelling him, right? So you get this type of differences. But this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is better than the other. So this is one of the tafsir, يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاء. So Shah Sahib then, Hazrat Qutbuddin asked him, that if the sweet voice is added to this type of poetry, it's a sweet voice you say is permissible, and you say it comes under the verse, يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاء. Now if a sweet voice is added to a poetry, then what? Then Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib says, then Nurun ala Nur, as it is, the statement was good, and then it was discharged with a sweet voice, then what else you want? A sweet voice and a kalam, a statement that was discharged with the rhythm. So what else do you want? Nurun ala Nur. Anyway, everything ended. So Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib is suggesting to Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, then why didn't you suggest this to Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshbandi? Because Hazrat Bahauddin Sahib is not for Sama. Now this is the point that you need to understand. Hazrat Bahauddin Sahib is not for Sama. He is not qail of it. He is not for it. He disagrees. So Hazrat Qutbuddin Sahib Rahmatullah says, Ye khilaf-e adab hai. What? Ye khilaf-e unki raay hai. This is his opinion that it is not right, right? So now to go and challenge him is not in conformity with adab, right? So generally, we find that the fuqaha are not for it. Though the muhaddisin have allowed it, but the fuqaha haven't disagree with it. And the fuqaha, generally, their nazar and their sight is far, far beyond the normal person. See? And they see things in a broader spectrum, and they also look what is the maslihat and what is the expediency of the ummah. If the ummah is going to go in this direction, then what's going to happen? Like for example, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah says that it is permissible to look at the face of a woman, right? That's the preferred opinion. But then he also says that if there is the fear of fitna, then to look at the face of a woman is not permissible. So now, generally the ulama will say in this age that it is not permissible to look at the face of the woman. Why? Because the overwhelming force of fitna. If someone says, no, I don't have fitna, then he is in a fitna himself. He is drowned in fitna himself if he says, no, I am free of that fitna. So the overwhelming force of fitna will say, no, all women should cover their faces. Because we're seeing what's happening, what's going on, and how people fail to control themselves. They can't conduct themselves, they can't control themselves. It's the overwhelming forces of fitna. One youngster was here, so his uncle spoke to me in secret that this youngster wants to get into a second nikah. Why don't you discourage him? Because you know the expenses and whatever else, and he can't afford it. He's living with our grace, and he wants to get into a second nikah. We're paying him 12,000 now. So he'll need at least about 20,000 to be able to run two homes. So, and we're not going to give him that money. Where is he going to get it? How is he going to look after both the homes? So this was the essence of the uncle's advice. So the uncle left, and I spoke to the youngster in quiet. I asked the youngster, "Boy, what's your problem?" So he started crying, and he says, "You see, it's my uncle's shops. We've got all this type of chain stores right throughout Natal, in different places, so many stores we've got. And I am on the section of buying. I do the buying for the whole company. So 9 out of 10 times, those people that are on the same section in other companies are women, right? Those people that are in the same section, in the buying division, then they are all women. And when I get to talk to them, I need to be a little bit sweet because I want to get the best type of prizes. But Mulana is telling me, within 3 minutes, they are talking of bedroom stories. Those girls are talking about bedroom stories. I'm a young man, 24, 25 years of age. If I restrain, then how long should I restrain? If I make sabr, then how long should I make sabr? So what I thought of, now look at this person's reasoning. That's what I marveled at. He says, look at his reasoning. He says, I'll get married, then I'll put her into the buying division. So she's talking to a woman talking to a woman. I say, hey, boy, you don't do all these things here. Because, see, if your wife is on that buying division, and the person that is calling on to your wife, he starts something like this, there'll be another fitna just now. You're trying to stop this, right? Your intentions are good. I marvel at your intention. But if the call, one person is calling from the opposite direction, he's a man, and they start into some type of talk, you begin to have doubts about your wife, what's going to happen? Lene ku dene ku ho jayega. Anyway, but I want to show you the abundance of fitna. On account of the abundance of fitna, sometimes the fuqaha will say that this is impermissible. And they will use a term, saddan lil bab, that in essence it may be permissible, but because of the overwhelming forces of fitna and corruption, we will say that now this is not permissible, it's not right. And then when we have to pass a ruling, then we'll pass the ruling across the board. Everybody will have to practice it. Now we pass the ruling about the woman covering the face, right? So one person can't come and say that, no, I am an exception to the rule. If I look at the woman's face, then I will not be caught up in fitna. He can't say it because it's a ruling. The ruling must go across the board. It must apply for one and all, across the board. So the fuqaha, they look further than the Sufiya ikram, the Sufiya and the Muhaddisin. The Muhaddisin and the Sufiya will just look at that incident individually. They look at an incident and they look at the incident individually. But the fuqaha, their sight is far beyond. It says, no, all right, this is a situation, then what can happen afterwards? What can it lead to? If it is a nazam now, and people get fond of nazams, right? They get too fond and they have a passion for nazam, what will happen? Then what will happen is what's happening now. People get fond into nazams. Now you hear a background musical instruments carrying on. Someone says, no, it's not musical instruments. It is some body movements or sound of the tongue, whatever else. But even if it is body movement, even if it is some sound of the mouth, right? What is it imitating? It's imitating musical instrument, although it's on the background, but it's imitating a musical instrument. So it's a very easy way to get into music, you see. We are saying not to get into music, and the fuqaha saying don't do it. But now we're seeing it with our own eyes from where it starts off and where it leads up to. It starts off here and it leads up right here. I'm sure most of us know what I'm talking about. See? That you hear this type of nazams and you hear a background musical instrument. They say, someone says, so it's computer, and someone says, no, it is done with the mouth. Though he is imitating those sounds, but the fact that he is imitating the sound, that in itself is sufficient evidence to say that he is not right. Then that is the one wrong. And the other wrong in this is that when you are listening to this music, and then you get women also listening to this music, then women's hearts are very soft. That is why you find the hadith where Rasulullah had cautioned Anjasha, Ruwaidaka sawqaka bil qawarir, that Anjasha, you are driving this glass. In other words, you are driving those camels with your voice. See, like how you have some animals, they get enchanted with a beautiful voice, with a nice voice, they get enchanted. Then they will speed up their movement. They'll speed the movement just because of the voice. So there used to be some type of a song that the Arabs used to sing. That song is called as Hadi. And this Hadi, if the animal listens to it, then he wants to speed up. He wants to expedite. He wants to move fast. So when Rasulullah saw Anjasha singing, so the song in itself was permissible. But Rasulullah cautioned him, Sawqaka bil qawarir, you are carrying with you glass. In other words, you are carrying with you woman. The women have been resembled to glass. Why they have been resembled to glass? Because they can break very easily. If this thing is going to move fast now, then they won't be able to balance themselves. When they won't balance themselves, they will fall off the animal. That's the one explanation. So don't know you sing like this, because it's not going to be, it's not care, it's not according to precautionary measures. That's the one explanation. And the other explanation is, it's woman that you are driving. You see, this woman, it's woman that you are carrying, or woman that are the passengers here on these animals. When women are passengers, then their hearts can get affected very quickly. Right? Their hearts can get affected very quickly. Unlike men, if men passengers, then it's a different thing. They don't get affected so quickly. But women can get affected very quickly. Now it can become a means of fitna for this woman. So you be careful how you sing, how you're carrying on, how you're driving these animals. Don't sing like this. You see. So this is what I'm getting at. Is sometimes this fuqaha kiram, they talk about things that we say, saddan lil abwab. But then everybody is not a faqih. Sometimes a person tries to become, to imitate or pretend as a faqih. You need to have a very, very sound understanding, reasoning, very sound reasoning. It must be such reasoning that all the ulama of your time, they agree with you. Most learned, pious, muttaqi ulama across the globe, they agree with you. Like you see, Hadhrat Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayh, first he used to attend mauluds, right? He used to attend, and he used to stand up as well, make qiyam as well, in Kanpur. Then Hazrat Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayh heard about it, that he's attending the maulud, and he stands up as well. So there was a detailed correspondence between Hazrat Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayh and Hazrat Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayh, which is recorded up till now in Tazkiratul Rashid, right? He used to stand up, he himself says he used to stand up. And what he says now, I have a problem that I used to go there not for the maulud, whatever else, but I used to go with this intention that hundreds of people used to flock here, and many of them were Shias, they came, they became Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat. Many of people's beliefs were corrupt and their beliefs came right. Many people went performing namaz, and through these bayans that I used to give at the maulud, then according to through this bayans, they became namazis. Then Mawla Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah had to explain to him what was the wrong in this, what was the problem in this, and why he shouldn't be attending, even though he's seeing this type of benefit and this type of advantage. The harm is greater, and because the harm is greater, and it also corrupts their beliefs. How it corrupts their beliefs, the general tendency, the general take amongst people is that they will consider the person to be good and righteous if he attends the maulud. Even if he doesn't perform his namaz, that namaz is immaterial. But they will consider him to be a good person, a righteous person if he's attending. And if he's not attending, they will consider him to be a bad person, an evil person, that he's not attending the maulud. So now, they consider it more important than what it actually is. So, a lengthy explanation, then eventually, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah left it out. Okay? So you see, the faqih of that level, you find one in a million, one in a billion you find, right? And then ulama of that time, they must all agree to him. Most senior ulama, great ulama, they must agree with him. Then you say, no, this person is real faqih. He is blessed with that level of understanding. But when you see the general ulama are not in agreement, then you understand that this person, either he is not a faqih, or he must have made a mistake, though he may be a faqih. He may be with that level of understanding, but he stumbled here, he's made a mistake here, and he's taken a wrong end to this masla here. See? So what we are getting at is, these people's association, Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, with Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and how Miyaji Noor Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh connected to him, and both of them had connected to Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Why? The reason was emulating the Sunnah, following the Sunnah. Right? The importance of following the Sunnah. Okay? So, sometimes these goals and these objectives in Tasawwuf have to be spelled out. Why? If these goals and these objectives are not spelled out, then people come into the Khanqa with wrong reasons. Someone is coming here now, why? I want to have a beautiful experience, some great dream I want to see. Why are you coming here? I want to see something supernatural, or I want to hear of something supernatural, something like that. I want to get some experience, some ecstasy, some feelings I want to get. So I've come here for that reason. So you are off the mark. You're off the mark. I explained in the morning that if you can just understand that Allah Ta'ala, when he praises the Anbiya alayhi salam, then he praises them on these sifat. Like he says, Siddiqan Nabiya, Abdan Shakura. Right? So as far as being a Nabi or a Rasul, that is not within the choice and the capability of a human being. That is the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't strive for that. But these other sifat that Allah ta'ala is praising, one is Abdan Shakura. So if we just learn this, that this is what we have come here to train ourselves in Abdiyat and in Shukr. In Shukr I explained in the morning, by the grace of Allah ta'ala, that if someone really learned the lesson of Shukr, then he's closed the doors of Shaitan. He's closed the roads of Shaitan into him. Shaitan can't make any roads to him. Because Shaitan had said this, he had vowed, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, that most of them you'll find to be ungrateful. So how do you close the doors of Shaitan into yourself? Then you learn gratitude in every respect of the word. Not just you got up from the meals and said, Shukr Alhamdulillah. So that is also shukr. I don't say don't do it now. That is also shukr. But that's not the only time you say Shukr Alhamdulillah. If there is some roast and braai, then you say Shukr Alhamdulillah. And if there was just some karikishi, Alhamdulillah. No, not like that. Whatever it is, that shukr has to be maintained. That shukr has to be maintained, you see. So sometimes our shukr becomes selective. It becomes selective. So one is to learn shukr. In any situation you are, but to learn shukr, whether it is food, whether it is clothing, whether it's a home, whether it is your wife, whether it is your children, whatever it is, but to learn shukr. So if you got shukr, you have jammed Shaitan's roads. Shaitan can't make any roads into you. The doors have been blocked to him, he can't make any roads into you. Because in any situation you are thankful, you are grateful, you are showing gratitude, so Shaitan can't find ways. If you don't have shukr, now you're going to be fighting with someone, either your wife or your child or with yourself. So you'll always be stressing, you know, why like this and why not like this, why like this and why not like this. So you'll be in a turmoil, in a fight, in a dispute, either with yourself or with someone else. You will not be able to show the real color of gratitude. You won't be able to do it. Then you will have Shaitan then finding a very easy access into you because you're not thankful. So you're not thankful with your wife. You're going to be fighting with her. So Shaitan found the road now how to get you embroiled into an argument. Why? Oh, the karikishli wasn't done right today. The karikishli, so he found a way how to get you fighting, to get embroiled into a fight. And Shaitan wants this. This is what he's looking for, a turmoil. In the Shaitana yanzaghu bainahum, he tries, Shaitan incites trouble in amongst you. So this is what he's trying, whether it's in your mind, whether it's with people, whether it's with any situation, but a turmoil. He doesn't want peace. He doesn't want calmness. He doesn't want tranquility. He wants you to get into a fight, into frustration. So your goal will be lost, will be from away from Allah Ta'ala to your personal self. No, my comfort, my enjoyment, my luxury. I don't have this. I don't have this. So you're going to be in a constant turmoil, right? So you block the roads of Shaitan in this way, that you are in a constant state of shukr, alhamdulillah. And that shukr is coming out from the heart, is not just a lip service. So this is the one lesson that you come to learn in a khanqa, shukr. That Allah bak your immense favors. We have learned, come here to learn how to make shukr, how to engage ourselves in you, so that we become truly grateful servants. Allah bak may say, at least you did make shukr. You did make shukr, right? So if Allah Ta'ala says that, then how? What a great title for a human being. What a great title for a man. If you are grateful to your wife, how grateful she feels. And she is grateful to you, then how good don't you feel? Don't you feel you appreciated? But she's always thankful. She's always happy with me. Don't you feel good about it? But otherwise you get, the other day there was an email. That man wanted to run out of the house. He says, in my own house I'm not free. You're always fighting with me in my own house. You're always complaining. this is not right, that is not right. He doesn't feel comfortable and free within his own house. See, so he hasn't learned shukr. When you haven't learned shukr, you're not comfortable mentally, or you're not mentally comfortable within the precincts of your own home. Own home, you can't feel comfortable. So why you didn't learn shukr? So that is the one lesson that we come to learn. And the second lesson we come to learn is abdiyat. So when a person has got abdiyat in him, then he has blocked the ways of nafs towards him. How he's blocked the ways of nafs? He's blocked the ways of nafs onto him in this way, because the nafs wants it his way, right? The nafs want things to happen in his way, right? That's the whole nafs. So, no, I want it like this. I want it like this, right? I want things to happen my way, right? My way or freeway, my way, highway. Gee. So when you say that I am a slave, then the slave can't make a selection. He can't make a choice. See? One person bought a slave, so he asked the slave, "What's your name? Whatever you suggest, and what you're going to wear, whatever clothing you provide, what you're going to eat, whatever you task me, and where you're going to live, whatever place you provide for me. See? What work will you do? Whatever you say." So he tells the slave, "May Allah Ta'ala reward you. You actually taught me the meaning of abdiyat. So you learn, you come here to learn these two things: how to be grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and number two, to learn what it is to be a slave of Allah Ta'ala. Not for these dreams and experiences and supernatural things and all that. Forget all those things here. Then that is also a creation, supernatural things, dreams, all that. That's a makhluk. So you left one makhluk and you're going after another makhluk. You go behind this, that Allah Pak be happy with you. When will He be happy with you? When you are grateful. When will He be happy with you? When you are a true slave, in the true sense of the word. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Like Allah Ta'ala praises and applauds His Anbiya. Why? Because they showed us and they taught us what it is to be a slave, what it is to be grateful. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.